We thank you for coming today. I encourage you to get your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 12 as a basis for our study. In just a few moments, we're going to sing a song to invite you to come to the Lord. And as we just sang, all who truly come will find a happy home in the kingdom of the Lord. And everything's been made convenient that you might become a child of God today. In Matthew chapter 12, I direct your minds to verses 43 through 45 as a basis for our study. Jesus taught, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation." Bear in mind that this teaching is at a time when unclean spirits possess people. And Jesus, with his word, was able to cast them out, as you read about Matthew chapter 8. Making spiritual application of verse 43, "When the unclean spirit is gone out," I call to our attention the fact that there are a number of things that will cause us to be unclean or defiled. In Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 18, Jesus said, "Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." And the word defile simply means to be made unclean. As in the teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, it's not enough for us to just rid ourselves of these things that would cause us to be unclean. But we need to put some good things in their place. Let me challenge your thinking about that as we call attention to when the unclean spirit is gone out. I take us back to the text that was read just a few moments ago from Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah pointed out the word of the Lord in verse 16, saying, "Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil." Notice the rest of that. "Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow." Making application of our expression, "When the unclean spirit is gone out," you need to learn to do well. Somebody says, "I've ceased doing evil." That's great. We're glad you could do that. But it's not enough to just stop doing evil. You need to start doing well. You need to substitute well-doing for evil-doing. That's what repentance involves. The scriptures often talk about the importance of well-doing. In fact, writing the Romans in chapter 2, when he talked about eternal things, he said in verse 7, "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing," eternal life. And so eternal life is held out for those who learn to do well. Writing to the Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9, Paul penned, "Let us not be weary in well-doing." And when Peter addressed those dispersed disciples in 1 Peter 4:19, he talked about those who commit the keeping of their souls to God in well-doing. How committed are you to doing well? But in a similar way, turn now to the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, where Paul said, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." When the unclean spirit is gone out, if you will, cleave to good. You see, abhorring evil is just part of it. Notice he said, "Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." It's not enough for me to just have an abhorrence for evil, but I've got to cleave to the good. May our cleaving to the good be as strong as our hatred for that which is evil. Then come with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. When the unclean spirit is gone out, you need to put on. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 22, he said, put off concerning the former conversation. That is, the old man. That is, you don't live like you used to live when you become a Christian. You put on the new man, verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Somebody said, I put off the old man. Good for you. What have you put on? Writing to Colossians in chapter 3. Paul said in verse 8, but now you also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. Is that all he said? You just put off the old man. No, he said in verse 10, and have put on the new man. See? Think about that situation where the Lord taught about the unclean spirit gone out. If something's not put in that place to fill that void, what's going to happen? Going to return, going to be worse than it was before. And some people put off, but they never get around to putting on. You got to put on the new in place of the old. You think about a garment. Put off all that. You put off. You don't put on anything else. Your shame will be seen. So what do you put on in place of these things? Look at verse 12. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You get the point? It's not enough to just put off. You've got to put on. But also, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, notice with me a principle in verse 28. He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. How can we make application of this statement when the unclean spirit is gone out? What do? You work with your hands the thing which is good and give to those who have need. See? I'm making, in this case, stealing equivalent with the unclean spirit. I'm making application of that. And so when it's gone out, what have you done? You quit your stealing. So I quit stealing. I used to be a thief. I used to break in and steal. But I quit my stealing. That's great. You need to do that. You know, the Bible teaches that we're to respect the property of others and the possessions of others. But you know it's not enough to just quit stealing. What are you doing now with yourself? He said, let him that stole steal no more, but rather. Here's what you put in that void. Working with his hands, the thing which is good. Let me see your hands. If you work with your hands, you're going to have some evidence, aren't you? Maybe have some calluses or some blisters. Yeah. And you work with your hands what? The thing which is good. You know, there's some things you could do with these hands that wouldn't be good. That would not be in harmony with the Word of God. And so I find that which is good, work with my hands, and as the preacher Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, what your hand find to do, do it with your might. As Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And so, it's great you quit stealing. What are you doing now? Well, I've gone to work. I've got me a good job. That's great. See? And so when you're working, what's that going to do? That's going to prevent that thief from coming back into your life. Right? What else are you doing? It's not enough just to work with your hands. He said, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so you take it a step further. You're not just working, but now you're giving to those who have need. You're able to provide for your family. You know, Paul said, if any provide not for his own, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And there are folks that are worse than an infidel. They're worse than an unbeliever because they don't have enough decency about them to provide for their own. And in that context, he's talking about if any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them. And let not the church be charged. And there are churches that have been charged with benevolent needs that are really the responsibility of individuals. I have a widow in my family. It's my responsibility to work with my hands so I can provide for my widow's needs. See? You have widow in your family. We have widows here among us. And we have responsibility individually to visit the widows. James 1:27. Just as we have responsibility to keep self unspotted from the world. He said, visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And that's more than just stopping by and saying, hey, how you doing? Nice day out, isn't it? It's looking after their needs, doing what you can to support them, to take care of them. And we need to do that. And one reason we work with our hands is to have, to give to him that needeth. And so when the unclean spirit is gone out, by way of application, you get rid of your stealing. What are you doing with yourself? Are you working with your hands? Are you giving to him that needeth? But also, from Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 29. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. You might think of the unclean spirit gone out in the sense of doing away with your corrupt communication. You know, the Bible talks about your mouth. Often, read the book of Proverbs, and the emphasis placed on the tongue, the mouth, and the lips. The mouth gets us in a lot of trouble. James talked about it in James 3, whole chapter, basically dealing with the tongue. He likened it to deadly poison, to a fire. And he talked about its mammoth power related to its small size, like the helm of a ship, a bit in the horse's mouth. And so we've got to be careful as to the use we make of the mouth. The mouth is like an archer shooting a bow and arrow. And once those arrows have been shot forth, you can't retrieve them. Word spoken, can't take it back, no matter how much you might want to. And so we've got to be careful not to put our foot in our mouth, right? A lot of people have trouble with that. And when you think about your mouth, corrupt communication, that's what tears down and destroys. Somebody said, I'm not doing that anymore. I put away my corrupt communication. That's gone out. What are you doing now? What have you put in place of it? See? It's not enough to just say, okay, I'm not saying anything that would tear anybody down. Are you saying now things that are going to build them up? See? See the difference? What are you filling that void with? He said in verse 29 of Ephesians 4, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That word edifying is in contrast with that word corrupt. Something corrupt tears down and destroys. But to edify is to build up and to be made stronger. He said it may minister grace unto the hearers. So it's not enough to just let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Is the good communication, that good edifying speech that builds up, is that proceeding out of our mouth? That's important, isn't it? But also, when you think about the teaching of this chapter, look down with me now to verses 31 and 32. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, somebody said, I got rid of all that. That's gone out now. He said, I'm not bitter. I used to be a bitter man. I got rid of my bitterness. I put that away. And wrath, I was known for that. Anger, clamor, evil speaking, I put that away. I don't have any malice. That's great. The question is, what have you put in place of it? What are you filling that void with? When the unclean spirit has gone out, if you will, may I suggest the need to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving. See, verse 32, he says, and be ye. It's not enough to put away from you. We have to be ye. Put these things in place of that. Kind one to another. Kind. See the contrast? Instead of bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, now I'm a person of kindness. I'm tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See the point? It's not enough to just put away. We must be in place of the things that we put away. Now, come with me to Ephesians 5:18-19. Paul said, and be not drunk with wine. You know, the scriptures condemn drinking, alcoholic, wine. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's what Solomon said in Proverbs 20, verse 1. And the scriptures condemn drinking, intoxicating drink, socially to full-fledged drunkenness. From 1 Peter 4, 3 and 4, the use of the word banquetings, which involves drinking parties, to excess of wine. So you have it, the whole spectrum encompassed in those words. He says, be not drunk with wine. Somebody said, you know what, I quit my drinking. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. That's not always easy to do. You're to be commended for that. But you know what? It's not enough to just quit your drinking. The question I'd have for you, what are you doing now in place of that? What are you putting in place of that? At one time you were drinking, now what are you doing? What have you filled that void with? You know, when the unclean spirit has gone out, what happens? If we're not careful, it can come back and be seven times worse. Right? If we don't replace it with something to keep it out. That's the point. I hope you appreciate that. He said, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, listen, but be filled with the Spirit. And so when the unclean spirit is gone out, as we make application of that, be filled with the Spirit. You quit your drinking, now fill yourself with the Spirit. How do you do that? Look at verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's a companion to Colossians 3:16 when he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so you're filled with the Spirit, singing. You let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing. That's how you're filled with the Spirit, as you let the word of Christ dwell in you. And so here at one time you had the temptation to drink, and you drunk, and you were filled with wine. And what are you doing now? I quit doing that. What are you spending your time with? What are you filling yourself with now? The Word of Christ. See, when that's gone out, you get rid of the drinking. Put something in its place that's good, that's wholesome, that's productive. Fill yourself with the Word of the Lord. The temptation to drink comes, pray. Talk to God about that. Read, study, meditate upon His Word. Sing and make melody in your heart. See, I suggest that if you'll spend that time filling yourself with the Word of God, you'll have less of an urge to drink, see? Because you put something in its place. That's important. You might think of it as replacement therapy, if you want to call it that. When the unclean spirit has gone out, or when that which defileth is put away, you've got to replace it with something that's good. And then finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 11, the Apostle Paul made this statement. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. What's he talking about? These things. Go back to verse 9. They that will be rich, not are, but will be. That's what their ambition is. That's what they're striving for. What about they that will be rich? Fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, that's what he's dealing with, covetousness. What about that? They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so he says, thou, man of God, flee these things. That is, flee the love of money. Flee the desire to be rich because of the dangers associated with it. Somebody says, I'm doing that. You know, at one time, I was covetous. I succumbed to every get-rich scheme that came along. I played the lottery. I was going to win it big, and I lost it big. And so I quit doing all that. That's good. You quit doing those things. What are you pursuing now? See? Which way are you headed now? See the difference? He said, look now at verse 11. And follow. It's not enough to flee. It's not enough to just avoid covetousness and the pursuit of being rich. He said, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. See, And so you flee, you're running away from, you're going in a different direction. And in a similar vein, in 2 Timothy 2:22, Paul said, flee also youthful lust. Lust of passions, desires, which are especially urgent in one's youth. You flee that. Like 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. Joseph did that. Back in the book of Genesis, his master's wife cast her eyes upon him, said, lie with me. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Someone said, I run away from that. I fled. Good. Where are you going now? What direction are you headed? See? It's not enough to just run away from that. You've got to go in the right place. He said, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. See, I've got to turn from an unrighteous pursuit to one of righteousness and holiness. And notice the last of that. He said, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That says something about the company I keep. Right? Somebody said, I've been around a lot of bad characters. They kind of rubbed off on me. I got in with the wrong crowd. That happens sometimes. You know, wise Solomon said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And so don't tell me that it doesn't matter who your companions are, because a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And you're never going to change that. And so we need to be with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We need to keep the right company. And so we replace bad company with good company. I was with a family just recently talking about their young people they brought up. Now they're all out of the house. And said, we think we did a good job keeping them away from the wrong crowd. But they said, we're not sure if we did enough to get them with the right crowd. So it's not enough to just keep them away from the wrong company. We've got to put them in the right company. Help them to make friends of God's children. See? Sometimes we're busy keeping them away from everybody. We're not putting them with the people they ought to be with. And so I'm just making application of that idea of when the unclean spirit has gone out. Sometimes we're good at getting those things out, and we've got it swept, and what do we put in place of it? See? It's not enough to just quit the bad habits or to quit sinning. We've got to replace the bad with good and sin with righteousness. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, Paul said, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. Ye were. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, listen to this, ye became, what did they become? The servants of righteousness. See, they were the servants of sin. He said, you're free from that. But that's not the end of the story. He said, now you're servants of righteousness. And so they've replaced their sinfulness with righteousness. When were they made free from sin? When they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered. And that goes back to verses 3 and 4. As they're baptized into Jesus Christ, that's when they're made free from sin. Someone says, I stopped my sinning. Good. Are you doing what's right? Have you replaced that with righteousness? Remember our text. Jesus said, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I'll return into my house from whence I came out. When he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Now I realize that's in the context of unclean spirits. I'm just making application of that. I think it makes a good statement, a good principle that's worthy of consideration. I've known of those that have quit some things and they didn't replace those things with good things, and those things came back with a vengeance and they ended up being worse than they were before. You know, tobacco is a gateway drug. So I said, I quit my tobacco use. But they didn't replace it with good things, and then they got into heroin or cocaine and died from an overdose. That'd be an illustration of what we're talking about. You've got to get away from the bad, and you got to put the good in the place of it. And the Lord's helpful in us doing that. You know, Peter talked about that same kind of thing in 2 Peter chapter 2. He said in verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again entangled therein, overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning." Same language the Lord used, isn't it? "It had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." It's great that a person has escaped the pollutions of the world. But it's not enough to just escape it, you see. You got to add to your faith. You got to grow in grace and knowledge. And so you escape the pollution with purity. Add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity. And that'll keep you from going back to the muck and the mire that you have escaped. That pollution that contaminated your soul, you see. And so may God help us to do that. If we can assist you today in getting rid of the uncleanness in your life, the sin that has caused you to be defiled, we make ourselves available. You've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you believe it with all of your heart? Would you be willing to repent of your sins, to cease to do evil, learn to do well? Would you confess with your mouth, "I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God"? We'll be happy to baptize you. The Bible teaches that baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Our sins are washed away, as Saul was told in Acts 22:16. "And now, why tarriest thou? Rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." There's no reason for you to remain unclean when you can be pure and your sins can all be washed away. Then you replace those sins with righteousness. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel. You put off the old man. You're striving to put on the new man. But some of the old has crept back in. You've not filled that void like you should have. And as a result, the unclean is trying to come back into your heart and into your life and need some help putting that away. You're at the right place. Help is here. Would you be willing to repent of that? To ask God's forgiveness? John said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why be polluted when you can be clean? Won't you come while we stand and sing the song?